do you have any suggestions for a ministry whose leadership is has full-time jobs and with very limited support from the church that is supporting the campus ministry?
I don't know from experience about that. I know that our youth leader, we had a really good growing youth group when I was in high school at Greater Alton. And our youth leader was a guy named Mike Kiffmeyer. And Mike Kiffmeyer worked a 40-hour week job, but I've never seen someone work a 40-hour week job and handle ministry so well in my life. He spent tons of time with us. Whenever we were talking earlier about teaching people to die to their self, that's what I think has to happen. Whenever you're in that predicament, there's not a lot you can do. You can't just up and quit your job, but you have to learn to die yourself, and sometimes that means late nights and early mornings. And I remember Mike would stay up late at night with us, and we would get up at 6 o'clock in the morning at Hardee's before school, and we would have meetings in the morning before he went to work. And then whenever we weren't in school, I don't know what kind of job you would work, but he repaired windshields, so we would ride on his route with him. And the whole time he would be talking to us about the youth ministry and what was going on. And I know there are times when it really aggravated Mike having to get up early and having to sit there and laugh with a bunch of teenage boys until the middle of the night, and when he knew he had to go to work the next morning, but he did what was necessary in order to help us grow. And right now our youth minister at the Crossings is the same way. He works a full-time job as a carpenter. He's out in the heat all day long, and he comes home and he just has to die to himself and say, look, I know this is hard and I know I'm exhausted, but, you know, I know there were times when Jesus was exhausted as well. And so I think just dying to yourself and doing what you have to do, and it, no matter what that cost might mean to you, no matter how exhausted you might feel, really pushing through that.
I just, for somebody who's chronically disorganized and undisciplined, that would be me, genetics, what can I say? But I think you have to be very structured also to where, for me, whenever I was busiest and I worked when we started Greater Alton part-time, and Tim, who started with me, worked full-time, he was much more disciplined to where he allotted time when he allotted it, he kept that commitment. So he was much more disciplined. So I just suggest that you make your calendar out in advance and say, here are the times for ministry. I've got to give this, and here's what I've got to give for this. But the more organized you are, the more helpful it'll be.
This may seem a bit odd, but I witnessed it happen, and I've witnessed it continuing to happen. This is what Wes did. Wes went and raised support because, there, believe it or not, there are people out there who have money who are willing to sponsor people that are willing to work for Christ. That's the way he did it. He raised his own support from a number of different churches and individuals and then came and worked in our ministry full-time for us, and we didn't have to pay him a dime. That was all done through the people that he raised support from. That's another avenue that can be done. There are people out there that are willing to do it. There are older generation people that can't get out there and do it themselves anymore, and they want to see it done. They're there. You've got to search for them, but they're there. If you put God in charge, though, the money's all his. He'll find it.
One of the things we stress and push at Harding and what we're doing is vocational ministry. And one of the things you said about programming your time and doing scheduling, you don't have 24/7 to work on it with that. So you have to structure your days and times and try to get the best out of it you possibly can. So if they cannot raise their support, or they don't want to raise their support or whatever, then I think what you said a minute ago is very critical, that you go back to actually planning what they can do and do well and do that. And then don't tackle those things that they cannot do well like they are. I don't see how you can be a campus minister full-time and hold a full-time job.
I agree.
So you'd almost, if you got three people that are working with it, then one of them takes one part, one takes one part, one takes one part, and they stay very close in connection, don't cross over, get their job done, commit to it, and do their part well. But I don't know any other way to do that vocationally. And if that's a need, then stay there.
I was just going to say, on that second part of what you asked with the leadership that, you know, may not be as supportive in that, I know a lot of times that, you know, campus ministers get really upset because they feel like that campus ministry isn't supportive very well. Well, the reason for that is because churches have watched campus ministries not be effective for so long, they don't see any reason to pour into them. And, in Columbia, I think if you want more support, then you're going to have to show them a reason. And, you know, and that may not seem right, but you're going to have to give them a reason to support that ministry. You're going to have to show them some fruit for what they're going to pour into you.
Also, when you're supporting yourself, you're going to have to double use your time. And, you know, as Carrie said, you know, the youth minister loads them up and takes them with him. That's the best kind of mentoring. But whatever you do, don't leave your family out. We deal with so many burned out ministers who tried to give 24-hour, you know, and full-time ministry and full-time support themselves. And the people you're ministering to, they desperately need to see you put your family first. That's what they're looking for, is a good family. And so whatever you do, put your family first and then pull in these people to your house to watch how you help your wife with the dishes instead of going off to an activity. They'd just soon, you know, hang out at your house and watch you be romantic with your wife as they would watch a movie. But you're killing two birds with one stone. But you're damaging the people you're trying to teach if you damage your family while they watch.
Yeah, and I think with that, one of the great things you can do is include your family in what's going on. If you have a supportive wife, one of the great things that my wife is my partner. Without her, we would never be able to accomplish what we could. My children have been involved in ministry and doing things with us as long as I can remember. And both of my kids are involved in ministry right now. It's what they saw. We incorporated family into ministry. We didn't compartmentalize it.
Right.
And I think because of that and because of just the, man, my kids, Carrie has no regrets about his, you know, even though we had very little money, we received no outside support when we started Greater Alton. We worked part-time. My wife went to work, but had great memories because it was incorporated. So you can do that also, you know, just have, you know, with your Bible studies, when we'd have people come over and we'd have a devotional, we'd have friends there, and we'd say, hey, we got to do a devotional with our kids. We want to come up, and the kids love to have somebody new in the room for devotionals. And we want a guy who was a dentist, and he told me, he said, Robert, your preaching's good. He said, you know, the Bible talk's interesting, but your family devotional is what changed my wife and I, because we wanted something like that for our family.